Hey everyone, welcome back to Surviving the Covert Narcissist. I had a really good conversation with Trish Valleys last time around, and so we set up a time to discuss more things so we could go a little bit more in depth on certain subjects that, we thought were important to talk about. So on this episode, we kind of are discussing, our relationships and red flags that we encountered, their relationships with family members, friends, all these things that could be of use to you moving forward, being a survivor of a narcissist, if you're still in a relationship with a narcissist, if you are starting to realize early on that there are red flags and you're trying to get out of a relationship with a narcissist, or just, overall trying to protect yourself. some of our experiences are kind of divulged in this episode. We are going to do a couple more episodes to have just kind of open discussion. Again, I am by no means a professional podcaster. I am not a licensed psychologist. We are just talking out our experiences and trying to uplift each other and protect each other as empaths, as normal people, as whatever we are, trying to move on with our lives after abuse. The best way that we can. So, after this short break, I will get to the episode. Thank you guys so much.
Think so. Recording. All right.
Recording. I see.
We are back in business.
After a while. So, how's your week been?
So I don't know where you want to jump back in here.
Yeah. Well, I think we sort of looked at, if we were to do, if the same scenario were to repeat itself, what have we learned, from our experiences, and how would we, what would now be a red flag for us, or,
Yeah.
what now sort of pick up on that we didn't when we entered into the relationships, really.
Okay.
I know for me, I did. Somebody did say it with my ex-husband. They did sort of say, "Well, hasn't he been married before? He's mid to late 30s. Hasn't he been married before? And you say, "Well, no, he hasn't. He's had one or two, well, girlfriends, and now they're not very long term." But at the time, he sort of led me to believe that they'd been longer term. But then you find out that they weren't, So I think now that would be a bit more of a red flag for me as to why somebody,
Yeah.
gets sort of mid to late 30s and hasn't got a past effectively. But I don't know what, how did you meet yours and,
Yeah, mine was Yeah, I mean, as far as when I met my ex, it was basically just a lot of she moved to Las Vegas from Buffalo. And it was just, she was living with some friends. She got kicked out of her house and she was just, down and out. Everything was their fault and blah, blah, blah. And she moved there with a guy, and then she claimed the guy followed her. And then she would tell me stories about how horrible he was and how she burned some of his clothes on the front yard because he was cheating on her, allegedly. Which, I mean, who knows what's true and what's not true at this point, So, yeah, I don't really know what to believe really. So.
It's very difficult because I got that, they're very critical of, you'd been in the neighborhood, the area, for years and years and years, but, seemingly that the now was a, you know, there weren't many friends. You sort of, you know, meet a few people, don't you, or meet somebody, and then you introduce one or two of your friends, you know, to them, or introduce them and bring them home, as it were. And that sort of didn't happen. And you sort of wonder, well, where are all their friends? But then you think, well, I did, you know, well, he's not married and maybe his friends are married, but there were less and less best friends, you know, buddies. Yeah. So you didn't sort of go to a club, go to a football, you didn't go and do anything.
Nope. Yeah, no, I think that actually is pretty accurate. I mean, a lot of, you know, she would claim she had all these long-term friends, but they, every single one they had a falling out with, every single one she was not close with anymore. Every single guy friend, like boyfriend that she ever had, she wasn't close with anymore. Mm-hmm. The only friends that she did have that she was, you know, semi-close with were, you know, people that didn't really get too close to her. And then she would try to, you know, cozy up with them. You know, later on in our relationship, she'd reach back out to people, they'd hang out, but then there was always a falling out. There was always a reason that, you know, they stopped being friends. I guess at one point she had one friend call her a sociopath. And that really set her off, like really, really bad. So, it's funny now looking back at it because she obsessed over that for weeks. I'm not a sociopath. And then she started doing research on it and studying on it and trying to figure out exactly what a sociopath, I don't do this. I don't do that. She does this. She does this. She does that. She does this. She, you know, that I'm not like this at all, you know? And I mean, as we know, NPD and being a sociopath are very closely tied together, you know?
Yes. And this inability to sort of take any sort of constructive feedback from your so-called friends as well, you know, seems to be quite a,
just cut them out.
Yeah, you know, yes, yeah, very much so. And there was always, you know, but it was like historic as well. It wasn't just his generation, it was like his parents' generation. Their, you know, their parents mistreated his parents or his uncle or his, you know.
yeah I mean, there was her family members. I remember there was they used to go out to the Adirondacks in New York and at Lake George, and she had, you know, huge falling outs with family members. You know, anytime there was a family get together, you know, she was always negative, and you know, I'm the black sheep of the family, and I'm this and I'm that, nobody likes me, my uncle hates me, and all this stuff. And I remember one specific summer, you know, the two uncles were, you know, doing karaoke, and someone got mad at the other one, and they were getting in each other's face, and, you know, they were really, really, really close. And they started, you know, almost got into a brawl with each other. And then her mom jumped in to kind of break it up a little bit. And her mom kind of incidentally got pushed, but not hard. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she jumps up and she gets up in his face and, "Don't you touch my mom, I'll fucking kill you." And just like absolutely, you know, 10 times above whatever, where everyone else was.
Yeah. So they beyond. Yeah.
Yeah. And then everyone's like, "Really? After everything you've put us through?" And that was my first, you know, time actually like of them openly saying anything about her. And, you know, I only heard from her story, like what her side of the story was with her family. But, you know, after everything you put us through, do you really want us to go there? Do you really want us to go there? You know, and now looking back at it, I kind of know. I mean, you know, she had a child in high school and ended up staying with her uncle, you know, and that was the uncle she was screaming at. Her aunt and uncle she stayed with, she gave a child up for adoption, and I knew nothing about it at that point. So there was a lot of like, there was a lot of hidden, you know, shadows that were in the family. And, you know, he was basically insinuating like, "Really, you want to go there? Like, you lived with us for free while you were pregnant and we put up with your bullshit, you know, and we gave you loans, we gave you money, we did all this stuff for you. and we're keeping your secret and you're going to treat me like this. Like that was kind of the, it's crazy. But yeah, she's still, is still talk to like my kids sometimes, and they have friends that were mutual friends with her friends, you know? So my kids, she would find new parents. She's always finding these new parents with these new kids. And sometimes I'll ask my kid like, oh, hey, what happened to so-and-so? And it's always like, oh yeah, mom's not friends with them anymore. So I don't really talk to them much. I'm like, oh really? Is everything okay? Anything happened? He's like, I don't know. They're just not friends anymore. They just don't talk. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, that happens all the time. So my poor kids now don't have any stable friendships because the mom can't have a stable friendship. No. So
everything broke down with your wife, what was it like with her family? Do you have any contact with them at all, or how did they treat the whole situation?
Me and her mom had a really good relationship, but she's very much a sympathizer of the abuse and was very much keeping me in the abuse. I think one of the big reasons I stayed as long as I did was because I did have an intense amount of respect for her parents for a long time. Her stepfather is the one that's kind of in the picture, and her stepfather hates her. It's bad. So he still reaches out to me and contacts me. I mean, he's been telling me for years to get out. He's like, you know, there's no fixing this. Like, you can try as long as you want. Like, I'll respect you either way. But, you know, he was like, honestly, you're not going to fix it. It's, you know, she's going to be, he would basically just say that she's just going to suck you dry. She's going to suck you dry. She's going to emotionally, you know, destroy you. And he's not big on psychology or anything like that. He's very, you know, very driven by, you know, business. He doesn't let his emotion show, but he just basically, like, anytime he was around her, he would ignore her. He never, I think the entire relationship with her for, you know, the whole time I was with her, I don't think he ever said maybe two words directly to her and actually looked at her while saying it. If he was talking to her, he would usually talk through someone else. Oh, your mom doesn't like when we play too rough. That kind of stuff. But
do your kids still have anything that they have contact with her parents?
My kids have contact with her parents. Yeah. I mean, her mom she hovers. I mean, she has been treated poorly by my ex too, but now that I'm not in the picture, my ex is now using her as the new supply, I feel like. And so now she's keeping her close. And right now she's just kind of praising her mom for all the work she's doing because she needs her mom. And the second she doesn't need her mom, then she's going to treat her mom like shit again. But for now, you know, her mom is on her side because she's getting the nice version of her daughter, and she doesn't want that to stop, you know? So, their relationship for now is good, but that's because my ex needs, she needs her time to watch the kids when she needs to do something, and she needs her money. Yeah. So, as long as that's the situation, her mom's going to continue to be, fooled, you know, it's her daughter. So that's even harder. You know, but her mom, every time we would get in a fight, you know, she would say things like, it takes two to tango. There's always two sides to a story. You guys loved each other once. Like all the typical things I know now that are like the wrong thing to tell someone when they're being abused, which just led me to feeling more and more shame and guilt. You know, she always did it, and it just completely invalidated anything that I was actually going through. And I had to like toughen up and be like, yeah, you're right. It does take two to tango. It does take two of us to fight the way we do. You know, I did love her once. Maybe
it would be me then. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm going to have to reevaluate what I'm doing because I must be doing something wrong, you know?
Yeah. It's really difficult, isn't it? Well, has your wife got a new partner or your spouse, or did she have other boy? people?
She's had people on and off. But I don't think, I mean, nobody that she's introduced to the kids at this point. I know she was dating someone for a while, and I think she was making it seem more serious than it was, because I think she was trying to like see if I was jealous or something, but I wasn't. I was kind of like, good riddance, you know, go suck someone else dry. But at the same time, I don't really want to see anybody else suck dry, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like, even though part of it for selfish reasons, I'm like, yes, go drain someone else. But at the same time, it's like, but that guy doesn't deserve it either. Nobody deserves the treatment she gives. Like, I can't sit there and say, well, if that guy's stupid enough to be with her, because that was me. I was stupid enough to be with her. And I don't even think it's stupid. I think it's just, you get fooled.
It is like, it's such an insidious thing, isn't it? And there's so much else going on that you just don't actually realize you're in the quagmire, really, until much later. Well, I didn't, not until much later on, I don't think. You know, I didn't even really. And I think several times my ex-spouse, you know, had little flings here, there, you know, might only be a few hours, a few days, or a couple of times, you know, but several times, but I always didn't quite believe it, or made an excuse for it, or ignored it, or this, that, and the other. So it wasn't really until we'd sort of separated.
Right.
I started really noticing, oh gosh, yeah, no, this looks like the same as a couple of years ago, you know.
Yep.
And sure enough, it was, you know. And I think our son was older, so once we'd separated, he started then trying to use other relationships to get our son to support him rather than support me. Just you know, take
like
us
through life. Yeah.
It became a, you know, I don't know.
It's constantly a competition. It's they're always competing. There's never just ever just an understanding of somebody else's situation. It's always like, my situation's so much worse than yours, you know. It's and then pulling children into the middle of it is just,
I'm the only one suffering. Always I stole everything off him. It was all his. I did, you know, everything I had done, you know.
Yeah.
And interestingly, quite a lot of the time now I sort of look at it and go, well, actually, just deflected anything that was him, really, and put me, you know. So that was, and that was quite an interesting thing. I think I would be I'm much more interested to know, if I meet somebody now, I'm much more interested to know about their past life, their past history, and how they, you know, how they relate it to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of, but I think part of being an empath, which you are, is that when they say, oh, this, and then they present a very credible case, because they can say what they like about, you know, well, this didn't work out because.
Right. You
know, oh, that's a shame, but, you know, and this one didn't work out because she had an affair with whoever. And this
one. Yeah, yeah.
Oh gosh, you know, how mean's that, you know? And you're sort of halfway down the path anyway, and then you just get sucked into it, believing that everything that they say, because there's no evidence that they're telling you lies. I haven't got any, you know, whereas I would, it's awful for the next person and the next person, whoever I might meet, but now they'd have to sort of demonstrate their honesty a bit more, I think.
I mean, I think a big thing for me, I mean, obviously I have a new partner now, where we've been dating for, you know, almost 2 years. I think with COVID, everything just kind of amplified and sped up our relationship. You know, but I mean, a big thing when I, you know, what I was looking for in a partner, if I was to move on, which I wasn't necessarily knowing what was going to happen, but was their relationship with their previous partners with their, you know, more than just the one, because, you know, if one person does mistreat someone, maybe they are just another victim, like, you know, or, you know, a survivor of a victim, you know, abusive situation. But how is your relationship with your parents, with your aunt, with your siblings, with your, you know, how many exes do you still, you know, hold in high regard? Like, you know, I mean, I do have an intense amount of love and appreciation for most of my friends, even if I don't talk to them still, or even my exes before my narcissist, you know, I still have really good relationships with them. Like if I wanted to reach out and see how things are, I wouldn't get a, you know, bleep you, don't talk to me type reaction.
No, that's me. And I sort of think, well, why wouldn't you have? Because you've both moved on. It doesn't matter who was responsible for the breakup at the time, but years have gone past, you know, years have gone past, and it's now 7 years since I pitched for divorce originally, you know, and it's 4 years since I moved out. It will be 4 years in October since we sold the place and moved out. So yeah, I had to spend 3 years, but that was because he delayed everything. Him. But it's 4 years, and if anything, he's just got worse. I think a friend says, you know, the thing is, he's going to live like that for the rest of his days. It's going to eat him for the rest of his days.
Oh, of course.
And you just need to move on. And so actually, it's fairly recent that I've, you know, with the realization that this is a narcissist and this is where they head. Because before I was feeling, I felt so guilty that I hadn't made the marriage work and I hadn't stayed there and hadn't, you know, was it really, and then you think, was it really that bad? Was it really that bad?
I know, you have those thoughts, it's so bad.
And it would have been all right, Henry, you know, I don't know. You just sort of start kidding yourself then that it wasn't really, you know, and feel guilty. So it's only recently I've ditched that and thought, no, actually, it was that bad. And
it was that bad.
Friends that have sort of read drafts of what I've been writing said, we knew something was going on, but we had no clue that it was like this, you know? And
because you don't let them know, because you're terrified that they might find out if he found out that you were confiding in mutual friends, like that would have gone horrible for you. Like, you know,
I would have had no opportunity to get any respite. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as it happened, one of the friends he chose to have an affair with. So it was a little while before I cottoned on to the fact that there must be something going on between them. It was unimportant information, but suddenly he got some unimportant information that I'd only remembered telling my son and two very good friends. So I thought, that's strange. How did he get that information? You know, must be one of them. And then I thought, well, I've never told anybody, but you're going to keep this a secret from him. So I just tested it with three bits of different information, unimportant bits of information, and I told them each.
Yeah.
Three bits of information and waited to see which ones came back. And guess what? It was the girlfriend, you know, not my son, not the... the elderly couple that we were friends with. So I tried it two or three times with two or three different bits of information just to be certain nothing was accidentally happening, and it was different. Right. And it was, you know. So then I thought, oh, okay, there we go then, you know. And I just waited my moment, and I phoned up the friend and said, and she actually put the phone down on me when I wanted to talk to her. So I phoned up and I recorded myself doing it, because he used to tell me I'd got a temper problem and I needed anger management and I was mentally unstable and it started all that kind of thing. So I recorded myself doing it so I could play it back to another friend so that they could confirm I was not shouting or ranting. And I just said, oh, from now on, we're not friends. is all that I'm going through at the moment. I just haven't got time for friends. So we're not friends. I didn't mention him. I didn't mention anything. I just said, we're not friends. And it was, well, all hell broke loose on the night from him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? You know. And oh, God, yes. Yes. So now I am much more alert to red flags and red lights and thinking, you know, with all kinds of relationships, not just, you know, a romantic relationship, but friends and what have you. And you think, really? You know, what's that about then? You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had, I don't even remember how the conversation came up, but I was at one of the locations of the stores that I recruit for. And there was a guy there, and I said something. I don't know how the conversation came up, but somebody said the word narcissist, and he just was instantly triggered. And he was just like, oh, the word of 2020, everyone's a effing narcissist now. Everyone's this, everyone's that, you know, and he just got so bent out of shape. And I was like, whoa, buddy, you know, like calm down a little bit. And he was like, my ex used to call me that all the time. I just work all the time. I'm just a hard. And I was like, huh. And I was like, that's interesting. I was like, have you ever stopped to think that it might be that you are, you know, like, I just like called him out on it. Cause I don't ever see him every day, you know, and he just, his face got so red, and, you know, he was just like, you could tell he was triggered, but I was just, you know, I'm in a different position where I have no, you know, the stores have no say over what I do. So I don't really care. I just tell people how it is. I kind of poked a little bit of like, well, maybe you are, you know, have you thought about that? You know? And he was just like, I'm not, everybody is, everyone's getting called out, Me Too movement, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, buddy. All right. Yeah. I'll leave you alone. You know?
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous. Oh man. Yeah. He was, I mean, just the reactive, like, screw everybody, you know, like, and that's what it is. If you call a narcissist out, they'll instantly get super pissed off, and they'll, you know, demean other people and, you know, try to like downplay whatever it is. And, you know, it's sweep it under the rug. It was crazy. I was just not expecting that reaction. I wasn't even the one that said it. Someone else was said something about someone being a narcissist, and he just lost it.
Well, and I think when you said in one of your things about these sort of, one of the other things was like the treasure hunts that you know, you have to do, which is like this trying to be better, to improve and to get things right and to do and get the thing, but you never can. Well, I never could. I could never get it right, or never do the right thing, or never do the, you know, get whatever it was that was in their mind, because it would change as well in minutes.
Constantly.
And you think, hang on. You said this a few minutes ago, and they deny it, and they go, no, you know.
No, you're not listening to me. It's like, what?
Yes, you don't listen ever, you know?
Yeah, I think they, you know, I've heard it said, I don't know if this is the technical term, but they say like the moving of the goalposts, you know, there's like a constant, you know, it's almost like they do these checklists, these to-do lists for you. And I feel like, you know, early on in the relationship, it's almost like they're grooming you to see how far they can push you and how far you're willing.
They put the bar and you'll still try and climb over it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's like, how many times can I kind of like screw around with them before they lose their mind? You know, it's like, I don't think it's intentional, but I think that it's, you know, testing. I think it's testing your boundaries and being a tolerant and patient person.
Yeah. I think you just mentioned one of the things that I just failed to do was
boundaries.
Because I've never had to do it. I've never had to do that. You know, other people have always, you know, we've had our boundaries and our own thing, and we've respected it, you know, and it's the first time I've really come across somebody who completely failed to.
Yep.
You know,
same.
Has no boundaries and is just saying, I don't know, people say, you know, read this, understand a bit more about narcissism. And in a way, I don't want to. Why should I try and understand why somebody's abused me? I don't need need to understand it. I just understand how it happened. It's happened. And now I understand how not to let it happen again. And I think for me, that's much more important than trying to understand him. Because where would it get me? It won't get me anywhere.
You probably already have spent years trying to understand him. I'm sure you spent, you know, countless hours in your own head analyzing and evaluating why he was the way he was, what you could do to make him better, and blah, 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 you know. The changing of the goalposts, though, and the treasure hunts, you know, I've been really thinking about that a lot. And it's just, you know, there's so many times. I know I was just talking about this last night with my partner, and I actually, you know, someone else reached out to me on social media, and they were talking about the same thing. And I had someone email me about it. And it's like, yeah. Like, I don't feel like I've heard that one mentioned a lot, but it is one of those things, you know, where are my keys? Can you find my keys? You know, like, how am I supposed to know where your keys are?
I've actually, you know, we were in a farm business together.
Yeah.
So it's all finished, and I did the accounts, final tax returns, dissolution of the partnership. The other day, I received a letter from his new accountants requesting all the figures. All the, you know, what's this? He has all of that, but he still thinks I'm going to jump in and answer all of these questions. So it went to my UK address. So I just said, could you pop it back in the envelope and gone away?
Yeah. Bye.
He has the information because I copied him in on it because it was a court requirement as part of the divorce and the proceedings to do so. So he's got all the information.
Yeah.
And actually, because he was still there, he was running the farm, and so he sent me all the transactions so that I could do the return. So it all started with him. So, you know, they better ask him, you know, not me. You know.
Yeah. So they just want you to do like these things just to see it. It's almost like they try to see if they can still just have any kind of control over you.
Just hook you in. And because it's your thing, I used to do accounts. I'll just give them all the information. I think, really? No, I'm not.
I got an email yesterday from her because I have my kids, you know, on 2 days a week. And she basically still has stuff. This is, I don't have enough time to go into this part of it, but this has become like a major part of a bigger issue. But our backyard, we're trying to get the house ready to sell. And I want to, cause I want to split. I want to split, like get away. Like, I don't want to deal with any of this anymore. She was supposed to move all of her garden stuff out to her new place, get all the garden, you know, all the flowers that she wanted. She was supposed to dig them out. She did it late in the season. Apparently she still left stuff there. She didn't tell me she left stuff there. Mm-hmm. So when I moved into the house, part of the reason I moved into the house was because I knew that I needed to get the garden ready, and I needed to clean up the backyard and get it ready for sale. And people aren't going to just want rows and rows of flowers everywhere. And it was my understanding that she already moved everything out. Apparently she didn't. And she didn't tell me that it wasn't in any kind of court agreement, but now she's, you know, trying to come back and say, you destroyed part of the garden. That's $12,000 worth of, you know, flowers that I had back there. How dare you? Don't touch anything else in the garden. You know, now she's trying to say that I've damaged. And I said, the reason I didn't move into the house until after you moved your stuff out of the garden, out of the basement, was because I was protecting myself against accusations and lies that you're doing right now. And you're still finding a way to do this to me, you know? and then she has the gall after that. She has garden boxes there, and she tries to control my time and what I do with my kids during my time. She said, well, what you could do on the backyard is you could break down the garden boxes and stack them up, and then I'll just pick them up, and you could do it with the kids. So while you're with the boys, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Oh, you'll do a bit of work for me.
Yeah, so now you can do my work for me, and it'll be a fun thing to do with the kids because you'll be outdoors and you can teach them about building and breaking down, and you can even talk about the science and the seasons changing, and you can make it a whole science lesson. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not doing any of that. I basically just responded with, I will not be doing that. You are not able to control my time with the kids any longer. What I choose to do with the kids on my time is what I will choose to do, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not.
You know, obviously, if there was a real problem with your kids in school or wherever and this, that, and that, then it would be sensible to try and have a discussion together. But you'd need a mediator involved, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd need a teacher or somebody that can mediate between the two of you. It's completely pointless trying to...
There's no reason. Yeah. So I called my lawyer. I talked to him for 2.5 hours yesterday. All kinds of stuff. I'm actually probably going to do an episode just over all the updates that are going on there. But bottom line is I'm not engaging. I'm not, you know, she then emailed me later in the day saying that she's missing stuff out of the garage for her gardening supplies. And there's other things that haven't been moved, but some of her seed pod and things are gone and missing. And, you know, basically without telling me, accusing me. Saying like, it's weird. I know we didn't get robbed because there was more expensive things there than this. So I just find it really peculiar, you know, beating around the bush. And I basically said, since you're accusing and not asking, I will go ahead and answer it as if you were asking. No, I did not take any of your supplies, nor do I have any reason to go in the garage at all at this point. Have a good day. Like, you know, you don't ask. You're not like, hey, have you seen this? Like a normal person would. It's like, it's like so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I guess we'll probably just kind of cut it here for now. And I definitely think we're going to need to do another episode to kind of cover more things that we want to cover.
Yeah, I think so. I've had some thoughts, particularly about the children and how you manage contact with your, with them and with spouse, et cetera, I think that would be, I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are on that, really.
Yeah. We'll remember that.
We'll do quite a few more episodes because I think there's a lot more talking through stuff that we could do.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you for coming on again.
Lovely to see you again. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Trish. And
a happy Easter.
Oh, you too. I forgot about that. Bye.
Take care, Philip.
You too.
That was my conversation with Trish. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope that it's been of use to you. And I look forward to speaking with Trish again and going a little bit more in depth on different subjects as we discussed there at the end of the episode. Thank you all for listening. Have a good day.